So how do you do this? How do you bring people together who have trouble with one another, who even have animosity together against one another, who hate one another? And we get that answer there in Jesus' words, and it's more fleshed out in Scripture. But Jesus says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Ezekiel prophesied the reunion of Israel, but we see that God has in mind actually this even greater reunion through Israel that's including just even more than Israel as a nation, but it goes beyond. And we get a hint of this even in verse 28, where again, as we've been seeing in Ezekiel, the nations around are in the background. They're like the audience. "Then the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord." And so then we hear through the Apostle Paul later in history, is writing to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, words that we heard as our words of assurance this morning. We hear God's purpose all along, that God's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, one new man, one humanity out of the two, Jew and Gentile, which is, you know, covers all of humanity. But he's going to bring together this one new humanity. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their, we could translate it hostility, you could translate also hatred. He put that to death. So how does God bring together people who not only differ from one another, but who have animosity towards one another, who have anger towards one another? How does God bring enemies together? How does he join, you know, those two pieces of wood? How does he bring together a people together into one household? Well, he does it by killing their hatred on the cross. That's literally what the text says. He puts to death their hatred, that enmity. On the cross, Jesus bore the punishment that our hatred and our animosity, our human hatred and animosity deserved. He went to the cross because of human hatred and animosity. But he absorbed that in himself, that hatred, without retaliation. He cut the cord of vengeance. And he, as we also read this morning, and he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And his blood, the writer of Hebrews tells us, his blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You know, Abel's blood, that from the beginning cried out about this animosity, the hatred that is there even between brothers from the beginning, this division because of sin, and the pride of the human heart, and envy and all that it flows out of it. But Jesus' blood cries out that our brother has shed his blood to reconcile us to God and to one another. And when the reality of what God has done for you on the cross and giving up himself for you on the cross, when that cuts into your heart, when that changes your heart, then the hatred is killed. And then people who are enemies are joined together, and joined together remarkably as brothers and sisters, and joined together in this one new household, this one new humanity, this new temple, this new body in Christ Jesus. And this is why when we hear of things like we have of this week, when we hear of people that talk about white supremacy, and when they put one race over against another, when we hear of those things, we have to know that that is entirely contrary to Christ and antithetical to the gospel and entirely against what Scripture tells us. Because, of course, that line of thinking is all about maintaining the hatred and the hostility. And Christ has killed it on the cross. He has put it to death. And we see on the cross that Christ kills that racist pride. And he reconciles his people into one body, one family. Again, one temple of praise up to God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, which is all about this amazing way in which God brings his people together. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, remember, he was killed by Nazis. He writes this. He says, he brings scripture together just in a beautiful way. He said, "Christ became the mediator and made peace with God among men. Without Christ, we should not know God. We could not call upon him nor come to him. But without Christ, we would not know our brother, nor could we come to him. The way is blocked by our own ego." There's that old self-assertion again. "Christ opened up the way to God and to our brother. Now Christians can live with one another in peace. They can love and serve one another. They can become one. But they can continue to do so only by way of Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ are we one. Only through him are we bound together. To eternity, he remains the one mediator." And so if we are to be the church, if we are to be a people that the scripture describes us as being in Christ, a people called out of the nations and called, you know, those who are far were brought near, those who are close are brought together in Christ Jesus, as Paul writes about. If we're called out as those who listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and are called into his flock, then we're reconciled to one another, and then we are to be, we have to be, if that's true, we have to be a community that is a demonstration of this, a community that is affected by this good news. Because if we're not, if then the church, if we as a local church, we as Christians, if we are just yet another place where people can't get along and where they divide themselves based on all the typical ways which people divide themselves, ethnicity, social class, culture, politics, all these kinds of things, then we're just like, we have no news to share. We're just like the world in that sense. We're not a reconciled community. And God in Christ has called us to be a people that bear that good news of reconciliation. And the good news is God is working to bring us to each other in reconciliation. And he does it through his word and through his spirit. And we're even called in hope to this vision. There's this beautiful vision that, of course, John receives this vision that we have in the book of Revelation. And it's incredible. And there in Revelation chapter 7, John sees the 12 tribes that in this number of completion, 12,000 from the 12 tribes, and it's this number of, which I think is pretty clearly a figurative number of 144,000, but it's the fullness of Israel. And then with them, those from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping the Lamb before his throne. This vision of, you know, this reconciled people to God and to one another and the Lamb. And there we hear those words that we hear in this passage as well, that God says, I will be with you. I will be your God. I will dwell among you. I am your God, and you will be my people. And joined together back in the New Jerusalem, come down from heaven. And joined up together in this in this new heavens and new earth, new creations, in this incredible, beautiful vision. And this is what we are, through the gospel, what we are being drawn towards. This is that word of prophecy that we're still waiting for and looking ahead in hope and being sanctified into in and through Jesus Christ. We remember those words from Philippians, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus." This is what we long for and what the scripture holds out for us. And so this is good news. Let's thank God. Let's pray together. Lord God, your gospel is amazing. And through the cross, you humble us, Lord. You kill our ego, our self-assertion, The cross reminds us that we are dead in sin and transgression, but through your sacrifice, you make us alive and you raise us up with Christ Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would raise us up in reconciliation with one another, kill our pride, so that we would be more and more united together as brothers and sisters and bear witness to the reconciliation that we see so clearly in Scripture. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.